grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for today is from our reading from earlier from the book of Ruth, especially these words that Ruth speaks to Boaz. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have standing of one of your servant girls. And this is our text. Well, as the summer is approaching, our series that we have had throughout this year, stretching back to last autumn, the series on finding Jesus in the Old Testament, is drawing to a close as well. And as we think back over this last year, we think about the Old Testament stories that we have heard and that we have studied, and we think about the variety of stories and the variety of characters that we have encountered. We have heard about big historical monumental events like the Exodus and big historical and monumental figures like Moses. And we have also heard about some rather obscure and maybe unexpected heroes like Rahab and Deborah. We have heard the story of God's work from creation to the fall and through the flood. We have seen how God took two people, Abraham and Sarah, who were almost 100 years old, and from them did marvelous things, did incredible works, and gave that couple who was childless a son according to his promise. And from them, God raised up a nation of millions and millions of people. We have, over the course of this last year, heard the story of tricky and clever Jacob, and we also heard the story of honest, long-suffering Joseph. We have heard about glorious miracles. We've also heard about shameful idolatry. A variety of stories and a variety of characters, a variety of different lessons. All right here, all of it in this Word of God, all of this a part of our Bible. And from this, maybe we can say that there is a variety of ways that we could describe and we could explain and we could answer if somebody asked us this question: what is this all about? What is the point? What is the purpose here? What is the Bible? You know, sometimes because of what we've studied here, you could say, well, the Bible is a record of the earliest histories of the world. Or you could say that the Bible is the origin story of the Jewish people. It's the origin story of the nation of Israel. You could say that the Bible is a series of stories of the great heroes of the faith. Or you could say that the Bible is the foundation and the source of great moral and ethical teachings going back to the Ten Commandments. And all of those things are right. They are ways that you could talk about the Bible. Those things are most certainly true, as we borrow those words from the Small Catechism. And as we think about the Luther's Small Catechism, and we remember that, that Luther's Small Catechism gives us an answer and helps us explain and understand what it is that the Bible is and what it is all about. Luther's Catechism and the explanation gives us an answer here. It's on page 46, it's question 7, what is the Bible? And the authors of the explanation say this: the Bible gathers together the writings of God's chosen prophets and apostles over a period of more than 1,000 years. Through the Holy Spirit, God himself gave these writers the thoughts and words they recorded, verbal inspiration, such that the Bible is God's word. For this reason, the scriptures are both infallible and capable of error and inerrant, containing no mistakes. Holy scripture is therefore entirely reliable and gives us everything we need to know and believe for the Christian faith and life. And that is most certainly true. 100% right, completely and totally accurate. It is a very thorough definition and summary and understanding of what the scripture is, but that's kind of formal. It's very logical, but it's kind of dry, isn't it? It's not the only way to express it. It's not the only way to answer that question. What is the Bible? Because as good as that definition is from the catechism, it isn't the kind of answer that really stirs the soul. It doesn't touch the heart or capture the imagination. Because this book, the Bible, the scriptures, this is more than just a series of stories. It's more than just words on a page. It's more than just a historical account. It's more than just moral and ethical teachings that we memorize and that we say over and over again. This is a story of real people in real situations. And this is a story of a real God who is in, above, and behind all of this. A God who is very involved in this world and in the lives of the people that we read about here. And so I would like to propose to you today another way of answering that question and understanding what is the Bible. I would like to suggest to you today that we could say the Bible is a romance. It is a love story. A love story. And the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth is a book that makes that very clear to us today. Because the book of Ruth is one of those short little books, and it is a story of the real lives of real people. And it is a story that does, in fact, stir the soul. It does touch the heart. It is a story that does indeed capture the imagination. It is the real story of real people with real heart. The plot of this story, when you read the book of Ruth, just take some time later today to do that. It won't take you long at all. Read through the book of Ruth and you realize very quickly from beginning to end, this is a story where the plot is just begging to be picked up by the Hallmark Channel and to be made into one of those movies that we love to watch at Christmas time. One of those lovely movies that sometimes feels like that warm hug. Kind of a chicken soup for the soul sort of story. In this world that gives us so much cynicism and so much heartbreak, the story here in the book of Ruth is a call for us to believe in goodness and kindness, decency and mercy and grace. To believe in love and to believe in the possibility of a happy ending. Not that the story of Ruth is always that way. Not that it's always a happy story. Because just like some of those favorite Christmas time movies that we like to watch, we see that there is some struggle along the way in Ruth's story. Because in the book of Ruth, just like some of those Christmas time movies, we get the story of a hometown girl who's coming back to where she came from. But this girl is not coming back home as the powerful New York businesswoman or some high-powered LA attorney. No, this hometown girl is called Naomi. And she is coming back to her hometown defeated. She is beaten and she has been crushed. She is coming back home almost empty-handed after leaving over 10 years before with a husband and two sons. But now they've all died. She is bereft of all of them. The scriptures tell us that she is coming back home penniless with only one hope, with only one thing, one companion, her young, sweet, also widowed daughter-in-law, Ruth. Ruth, whose faithfulness and love, Ruth's faithfulness and love for Naomi, and also Ruth's faithfulness and love for Naomi's God, won't let her surrender to Naomi's pleas. Just go back. Go back, Naomi says. Go back to your parents. Go back to your home. Go back and find a hope and a future for yourself. But Ruth will not surrender to those pleas. And so they travel back home to the hometown of Bethlehem. And we see that as this story unfolds, this beautiful story, out of the depths of their poverty and their grief, out of the depths of the grief and the poverty of these discouraged and discarded, broken-hearted, tragic figures, something incredibly beautiful is going to blossom. Something beautiful blossoms out of the goodness and the kindness of a man named Boaz. The goodness and kindness of this man who regards the lowly, regards the brokenhearted with compassion. The goodness and the kindness of Boaz, who cares for and provides for the needs of these two women. The generosity of his spirit that leads him to do what no one else would or could do for them. To pay a price. To pay the price. To rescue them from their poverty and from their brokenness. And from a fate that looks like it is only going to lead to death. The generosity of that spirit that leads him to do all of this, to rescue them, and even more than that, to make Ruth his wife. And as we see the story unfold, it is a story that will unfold and it will blossom into the joy of a new life, a love story with the happiest of endings. There's an interesting word that is used to describe Boaz in our scriptures. He is referred to as the Redeemer. Boaz, the Redeemer. The one who becomes the father to Obed. Boaz, the Redeemer, who is the great-grandfather of David. The great king and the ancestor of the Redeemer, as the Gospels tell us, the Redeemer, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you see, this love story that we find here in the book of Ruth, this great love story isn't one that ends with Ruth and Boaz, but this is a story that goes on, and it is a preview of the greatest love story that will ever be told. And friends, this love story, this greatest love story, is your love story, because you are the one who is at the very center of this story. You are the one who is the object of a great love. The great love of a Redeemer who regards you in your lowliness, in your brokenness, in the poverty of your sin, in the desperation of this struggle with death. The Redeemer who regards you in your caved-in and broken life, completely and totally bereft, with no way forward, no hope for yourself, nothing that you can do for yourself. This Redeemer is the one who regards you with compassion and love. And he isn't repelled by this. He isn't disgusted by what he finds. But rather, he is the one who draws near to you. He comes close to you in the incarnation, in his birth, in that little town of Ruth and Boaz, in that little town of Bethlehem. He draws near to you there. And he is the one who makes a pledge and a promise of love. He is the one who pays the price that no one else would or could pay to seal the deal, to make a pledge and a promise of love to you in his cross and in his resurrection. A pledge and a promise of love that he is going to make you his own forever. A pledge and a promise that he is never going to leave your side. He is always going to be right there beside you. He will remain with you for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, to death and even beyond. Because, friends, this love story, this love story of God is a love story that never ends. It goes beyond all of this because he is the one who goes beyond. Beyond the cross, beyond the grave, into eternity. This love story is a love story that endures. It is a love story that endures beyond your present troubles. It goes beyond today. It goes beyond tomorrow. It is that promise of his love that will never leave. That promise of his love that he repeats to you in his word over and over again. It's that promise of love in every single word from Genesis through Revelation. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's that promise of love that he made to you in your baptism. It's that promise of love that he makes to you in his supper, where you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins over and over again. This is a love story that does stir the soul. It touches the heart. It is a love story that captures our imagination with the joy of forgiveness and the joy of eternal life that will be yours forever, because Christ is forever. And so we see from beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega, a promise here in his word, the promise in Christ our Lord and Savior. Promise of a love that will never end. Promise of a true, wonderful, holy, and glorious happy ending. Amen. And now may that love and that peace and that grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that transcends all of our understanding, may this guard and keep your hearts and your minds to live in faith toward him, to life everlasting. Amen.